This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, second half of the show is underway. We're going to hear from Coach DJ Smith and a few players. Gord Wilson's going to pass on that audio to us shortly. Gord himself is going to join us in about an hour from now. We'll take you to two, as we always do, hand it off to the drive. I'm going to be back with a pregame show coming up at 5. Drop of the puck at 7 tonight. It's the Sens in Toronto to take on the Maple Leafs, and we've got many storylines to discuss and to help us with that. Very pleased to welcome former NHL goaltender, one of the hosts of Overdrive. You see him all the time on TSN 5 with Sens games. It's Noodles, Jamie McLennan. Jamie, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. How are you today?
Outstanding. So I know you're busy in the middle of your day here, so we won't keep you too long, but just want to hit on a few things with you. And I guess when I asked you to join us, we didn't know this would happen. It's become the biggest news of the day. What do you make of the Austin Matthews injury? And he's going to miss at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit surprising. I heard a little bit of rumblings last night, but you never know. Sources type of thing, because you get, you know, a guy who knows a guy and heard something and saw something, but, you wait for the official announcement. I know, and, you know, where we work and all of that, there will be people combing through the video to see where it happened, the injury, but, it is shocking news. Matthews has had a good season, but he set the standard last year at such a high bar. Him missing a minimum of 3 weeks, it's a big blow for the Maple Leafs, but, you know, fortunately for them, they've given themselves quite a buffer in the Atlantic. So we'll see them dealing with some adversity. This is the first injury, really, to one of their core four. They've had some injuries with Morgan Riley and some of the D and, you know, their goaltender, Matt Murray, at the start of the year, but this is more of a devastating injury just based on the importance of Austin Matthews.
And if it was going to happen, this is not a bad time of year. You've got an all-star slash bye week break coming here for the team, and I've got their schedule. So Ottawa, breaking news, not one of the best teams in the league. You've got the Sens tonight. Then you got Washington and Boston, and then you get your break. This is the schedule coming out of the break that would get you to 3 weeks, if it's only 3 weeks. Back-to-back against Columbus, Chicago, Montreal, Chicago. So Noodles, injuries are never good, but this is not. If you had to pick a time where Austin Matthews is going to miss some games, this might be it.
Yeah, agreed, 100%. And you take a look at them playing at home as well. There's a lot of home games sprinkled in there, and just some short trips, like you said, into Columbus and Chicago. So it's you're right. There's never a proper time, but you could kind of maybe say this is a little bit of a, you know, veiled maybe helper in this situation, where it's not, you know, heading into the playoffs and he's not missing critical time against, you know, teams that you don't feel that you can beat. Now, I'll say this, the Senators, they play the Leafs well, even though the record in Toronto hasn't been great. This will be a good game tonight. I think the Sens can rise to the challenge, the provincial challenge. I've been on teams where I was on the Islanders in 94, where didn't matter where we were in the standings, you always played the Rangers hard, and I'll be expecting a big game out of the Senators tonight. So I know what you were talking about as far as in the standings, but those Senators players, they'll be jacked up for the game tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to get back to that in just a moment, but maybe staying with another Leaf perspective, but it is also a Sens angle. Matt Murray's going to play tonight against the Sens for the first time. We had the false start early in the season when he got hurt the day of and missed some time, as you alluded to. And we know it wasn't a warm and fuzzy ending to Matt Murray's time with the Senators. You know, what do you think it means to him to play against them tonight?
Well, I think it means a lot. He didn't have a great showing his last game, and Samsonov has now played five in a row and kind of in a groove. All the conversation around here, as you know, a guy has a little bit of a great stretch, and it's like, okay, that's your guy now. And I'm trying to temper expectations in this market, because I think both goaltenders have played very well, and I think Matt Murray's got an opportunity here to respond. You're right. I mean, Senators fans watched it up close and personal the last couple of years. it didn't end well for Matt Murray, to the point where I don't know if he was even available to the Senators for like the last 26 games down the stretch. And his last game was an ugly one in Arizona, where I think he gave up an 8 spot. So that's still fresh in their mind. But he has a new sitting. He's got a new team that he plays behind. And you're right, I think it's going to mean a lot to Matt Murray. But that being said, I think it means a lot to the Ottawa Senators to play against a former goaltender. So I always say this, there's a pre-scout on both sides. So Matt Murray's going to know some of the tendencies of some of the players that he played with last year. Well, they know his as well. So it's kind of a race to who's going to beat who tonight.
How did you approach that? You played on multiple teams in your career, so you played against former teams. Is there an advantage either way here? How would you approach it? As you know, I practice with that guy, these guys a lot on the other side. Now I'm facing them tonight.
Well, I'll be honest. I thought my weaknesses were a lot stronger than the guys I played against. So I would say they had, quite an advantage. But that being said, there were tendencies where, I always joke, and I'm very close with Jerome McGinley. He's a dear friend. And, one of the, claims to fame is that he only scored one goal on me in his career. And I didn't face him 100 times, but I faced him a few times, and I knew where he liked to shoot. But that being said, he beat me in one of my weaknesses in an exhibition game. And to this day, I've never heard the end of it every time we have a beer together. So it is kind of a friendly little banter. But when you do look at the weaknesses and strengths of players, I want to say it favors the goaltender, but it really doesn't, because, the goaltender's tied to the chances that are given up in front of him. And the shooters, if they've got a breakaway or they may be a two-on-one situation, they might have a little bit more options to deal with.
You know your good buddies when he's giving you the gears for an exhibition goal all these years later still. Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good for Miggy.
He's a Hall of Famer, and he clings to things. He clings to little advantages that we've had over the years. So that one I'll never live down.
Jamie McLennan's joining us here. So the Sens are coming off a nice win, 2-1 over the Islanders midweek. Ridly Gregg had 8 shots on goal. That tied an NHL record. And I really like what DJ Smith, and I've mentioned this a few times this week on the station, Jamie, he made a point when he was chatting with Gord Wilson prior to the game. He kind of cut Gord off when Gord mentioned, yeah, you're this far out of the playoffs and mindset. And he says, we're not talking playoffs anymore. He's done. I think there was a tipping point with those back-to-back losses last weekend where there's a different tone right now, and they're just trying to, get to the next game and try to small chunk things here, which is the way you should always do it, right? But I'm getting that sense from the Sens. Are you? Kind of a change in mindset.
Yeah, I agree. I think the mindset right from day one, I think it was, a scenario like, hey, the rebuild's over. We feel like we turned a corner. I didn't disagree with it, but I also thought, okay, you got a tall task, because take a look at the teams ahead of you. Now, we didn't realize that Boston was going to be this ridiculous team that, set a modern day record to get to 80 points. We knew the Leafs were going to be a good team. We knew Tampa was going to be a good team. Florida's had a massive drop off where they've had a changeover. They've had injuries in net, to the point where you got Alex Lyon playing in net. So, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. Buffalo seems like they've turned a corner. I've always believed that it was important for the Senators to play meaningful minutes down the stretch. Whenever I was asked, do you think this is a playoff team? I would say, in the progression of players turning the corner. And I look at a guy like Tim Stützle, I think he's a star, and he's just scratching the surface of being a star. So I like all the moves. I like some of the things that happened. But you're in a division, you're in a conference where there's a lot of teams that are good around you. I like the mindset. It's like, hey, let's see how we match up. Let's continue with building a culture here where it's non-negotiable for hard work. It's non-negotiable for structure, and continue to allow some of these young players to grow right in front of our eyes. I'm excited to see what Jake Sanderson's going to be like in year 3 of his career. We've seen Tim Stützle in year 3 of his career. Shane Pinto, Kastelic's taken a step, and I know he's farther down in the lineup, but to me, it's important to have young guys play, maybe out of their comfort zones where they can find their ceiling at the National Hockey League level. So I like the mindset from the Senators organization of just saying, hey, let's not talk about this. Let's focus on this other situation, and that's giving meaningful minutes to the future of our team. And I don't think the future's that far off. I don't know if it's 100% next year, but I would argue 18 months from now, this team has probably turned a corner, and I think people should be very excited about that. So I'm kind of in the mindset what you were just talking about, like, let's get excited about it, but let's temper expectations and enjoy, you know, watching some of these kids get to that next level with experience on the job.
And maybe last one for you. In the immediate future, you know a break's coming, right? Every team in the league's got their all-star and their bye week kind of like coming in and out of each other. So there's breaks coming. It's easy to let your mind look ahead. It's natural for anybody, right? But the Senators have in Toronto tonight, home to Montreal tomorrow, at Montreal Tuesday. To me, if I'm the coaching staff and the group, I'm excited that I've got those, because you made the point earlier. Those are teams, those three teams, whenever they play each other, standings don't matter for emotion. The emotion's always there, and it should be there for the Senators the next three games.
I agree 100%. It's hard not to be distracted a little bit, and I'll say this respectfully. You got your goon buddies back home that are excited to maybe, you know, hey, let's have some beers, or hey, we're going to meet you in Vegas for a couple days or whatever. Like, those are the day-to-day distractions that people forget that, you know, we're dealing with, and I've been there, 22, 23-year-old guys that, you know, the human side of this. So, yes, are there distractions? Are there things that you look forward to? It has been a physical and mental grind for these guys, and regardless of where you are in the standings, you've given your all, and you're probably nicked up, and you want to finish into the break strong, but you're also excited to kind of have a mental and physical reset. So it is nice to be focused and have some of these rivalry teams that you play against before you can go have a couple days of fun to stretch your legs and kind of have that reset. So I can see both sides. I'm glad that guys can still be, young kids and human and have fun with their friends. But, you know, in the end, you make a lot of money, you get paid a lot of money, so you have to be a pro leading up to that.
I lied. I want to squeeze one more in. I should have mentioned it earlier when we were tying in the goaltending, but you know, a lot of Sens fans would love your take on it. Cam Talbot's hurt. Forsberg plays tonight. The goaltending in general, you know, it's been taking a lot of heat lately with Sens fans. What's been your opinion of those two to this point of the season, and, you know, what can we expect the rest of the way?
Well, I'll be honest. At the start of the season, I was really excited because I'm a fan of both of them for different reasons. Cam Talbot, I've watched for years, and I think he's a special person and a special player. Anton Forsberg, just got to know from afar. Even though I'm around the team a lot, I just try and give the guys their space. I've met him a few times. I think he's a fantastic pro. So when I look at the start of the season and the acquisition of Talbot, I'm like, that is a great tandem, a backbone of a team moving forward. Then you get the injury to Talbot, so he can't get going immediately. So it forces Forsberg into a situation, kind of what it was like last year down the stretch. No matter what, you're playing every night. And that's hard to do for any goaltender in any setting. So, you know, they've never been able to kind of get into a groove. And when they have, you know, the play has dipped a little bit. Like, I would say, and say this respectfully, we haven't seen that consistent run of 6 weeks to 2 months of just fantastic goaltending where it's like it doesn't matter who's in the net. You're just getting that quality save at the right time. We've seen flashes of it. I think there's been times where Talbot's been unbelievable and Forsberg's been, you know, unbelievable. Even the other night, I thought he came in and made some key saves when Talbot exited. So would I like to see both of them healthy and competing for the net in a positive way where it's like it doesn't matter who DJ puts in there. He knows he's got a quality night. I haven't seen that consistently, and I would say that the fans would echo that sentiment. But they're certainly capable of it, and I hope this Talbot injury, I haven't seen any updates from anybody, that it's not that he's not out long, so that you can down the stretch have a healthy tandem, you know, in the setting that we envision, and that's both of them battling for the net.
All right, we'll leave it there. Once again, Noodles, really appreciate a few minutes of your time. Should be a fun one tonight, and thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's Jamie McLennan, former NHL goaltender, one of the hosts of Overdrive on 1050 in Toronto, and we see him all the time doing some color on TSN 5 on many Sens games. Sens and Leafs tonight. We've got a pregame show coming your way at 5, drop of the puck at 7 on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
I feel like Gord's coming on right now, but no. It's that kind of song, though, right?
Yeah, I should have saved it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you could play something else by ABBA then if you want.
Yeah, I could envision the hustle going on here.
Okay. Gord's at 1. Gord's already helping us out as we speak, though. All kinds of sound pouring in from Toronto. We're going to hear from Brady, Ridley, and Jake. But ahead of that, Let's hear from Sens head coach DJ Smith.
We expect the same lineup here tonight, Coach?
Yeah, everyone's the same.
What do you expect to see out of Toronto today?
Well, they're an organized team that doesn't give you much. Clearly they can score, but I think underrated defensively as to what they give you. They play in five all over the ice. They're clearly they're playing well.
Does the approach change at all without Austin? Your approach?
No, we just got to do what we do. Clearly he's one of the league's best players, and on any given night the best player. So, the advantage is, it's better without him, that's for sure. But they have lots of players, and he's missed games before, and they've continued on and not missed a beat.
Small sample size with the new line combinations, but what do you like about the chemistry you see with that top line right now?
Well, I think we're looking to get Joe back to where he was, and I thought he was real good last game. I think, he's a guy that can play up and down the lineup, and I think right now for us, he plays hard away from the puck, and he had spurts last year where he did that. And then also, Drake and Pintz, get more of a favorable matchup down the lineup.
How much has it changed in the league now with guys like Ridley Gregg coming in, who can be defensive, who can be gritty, who can also be offensive? Is more use for young guys kind of do it all these days?
Yeah, I think the guys are so prepared as to what they need to do to play in the NHL, not just get points. I think there's such a mindset that's gone on, just get points, score goals. But these young guys now know to play in the league, you got to be able to play on both sides. And it starts right from junior hockey or college. And they know what's expected of them. So I think you see more prepared players when they get here.
DJ, Sheldon said a few times, he said it again today, we always get the best out of the Senators. What do you think that is about your group going against the Leafs?
Well, I think, Boston would maybe say the same, is these are the teams that are in our division that have been at the top of the standings for a long time. And, when your teams that want to be at the top of the standings are where they are, you're going to be ready when you play them. Both teams in Ontario certainly fuels it. It's a tall task. They're playing real well.
You guys are only 5 points better in the standings than you were at this time last year. Lots of additions. I think that probably be fair to say that's a disappointment. What hasn't worked with this group? I know there's injuries, but is there something else that's been working against this group?
Well, our number one center's missed 40 games. So, you're not going to score as much. Zub's missed 30-something games. So it's not the same team that, maybe we thought in the summer. But in saying that, all we can do is play the games that we have in front of us. And I believe our second half numbers will be better. We know what we finished with last year. We know what it'll take to finish this year. And all we can do is do what's in front of us.
Coach, any update on Cam Talbot?
Yeah, he won't play till for sure after the break. Kostelec, again, is a little bit banged up, so that's the reason he's not going today. We'll look to get him maybe back in tomorrow.
Talbot, upper body, lower body?
Lower.
There you go. So, confirmed, like DJ Smith said as much the other day, likely, and now, yeah, I think we knew that one. Cam Talbot's not going to play until after the break, and hopefully, like Kenny, that just looked like groin, right? It looked like he was just pushing across, and that can happen, and just one of those freak things. If you had to guess on the lower body, because it just seemed to be a goalie movement, and you're pushing across, and you feel something, right? That's what it looked like.
Yeah, and that's an awkward feeling when you just feel it didn't look too serious, but it's one of those things where as a goaltender and as an athlete, you know your body, and you know what doesn't feel right. So when it's one of those things that you just – you're not comfortable anymore. You don't want to put any more stress on it. Again, you don't want to look too far down the road, but you know that a break is coming up in a week or so. So you make that decision, and I'm sure he didn't think that deeply into it, but knowing what your body is like, shutting it down for now and shutting it down in that game is a difficult one, but the right decision, I think, in the long run, when you look at the outlook for Cam Talbot for the rest of the year, potential trade market, where if they do go down that route where there could be a landing spot for him, you want to be healthy. And going forward, if he wants to continue playing, you got to maintain that health. So I don't mind the move, even if it is just a minor thing to take him out and to make that decision to keep him out until after the break.
Yeah, if, and that we're just speculating because we don't know, but if that's what it is, even if it doesn't feel right, get out.
Yeah.
If a tweak can get, it can get a lot worse if you push it. So hopefully that's all it is for Cam Talbot.
And especially with the movements that goalies have to make and the sporadic movements. Yes, you want to have that nice, calm Carey Price push off where there's not a lot of exertion being done, but you never know what's going to happen in goal. You may have to do a lot more than expected.
All right, let's hear from the captain coming up next. Here is Brady Tkachuk.
You have a lot to take away from that 2-1 victory against the Islanders, not just the result, but how you went about that.
Yeah, it was hardworking, very detailed from our group as well. We stuck with it. We didn't panic when we had a 2-0, 2-1 lead. It's those are games we're going to have to be comfortable with. And so I think we did a good job, and I thought that was a very mature game for our team, for our group. So it's we just want to build off that.
It's not a Saturday night here in Toronto, but does this conjure up good memories here and obviously bring different feelings?
This will still do. I know the atmosphere, energy is always great here. It's it's a rivalry game, so I think it's hard for I wouldn't say it's you're gonna be you're gonna bring your best energy, gonna bring whatever it can to the table to get this job done. So it's of course these are games that you circle on the calendar, so I'm definitely excited for.
How does the complexity of the game for you guys change, if at all, with Matthews out on the other side?
I mean, they still have a lot of great players, so I saw that news this morning, but I mean, they're top of our division for a reason, so I think that a lot of guys over there are having great years. So he's a great player, we still have a tough task to get done tonight.
Brady, small sample size, but how do you find the new line combination of yourself, Tim, and Matthew Joseph complement each other on the ice?
I think we're playing, playing fast. You know, Joe can fly out there. You know, of course, everybody knows what can Timmy do, but I feel like we're not just playing fast and getting pucks back and it's a lot of fun. For me, sometimes pass and skate as fast as I can to catch up to them. But I really like playing with them. But I think that's what's great about our group is that we have a lot of great players to kind of play with, whether it's for a period to kind of get chemistry there, or I've been playing for the last 3 months together. So I've liked it, and like I said, it's gonna be a big task for us tonight. But I thought we had a good execution this morning, so I think we're all ready to go for tonight.
What impressed you most about Ridley Gregg's debut the other night?
Yeah, he was all over it. I didn't realize how many shots he had till after the game, but he had. He was confident with the puck. I feel like a lot of first games, you're almost too nervous to make play, but he was comfortable right when he came into the rink, and you just see how ready to go he was. I got to know him. He lived with me for a little bit, training camp when he was hurt and stuff. So just to get to know him, he's an awesome guy. Doesn't give you much, but once you open him up, he's always fun to be around.
He had a reputation as an expert agitator in the junior ranks. How do you think he'll fit in with the Battle of Ontario?
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I feel like we have a lot of guys like that can make plays, but also can leave it all out there and disturb the opposition. So, I think games like tonight are nice showcases to see what our team brings to the table. So I know that we'll be ready to go tonight.
What will it be like to see Matt Murray at the other end?
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be, it's different, of course, being with us the last couple of years. So, I guess first opportunity at it. So it'll be different.
Does it give you a little extra advantage kind of practicing against a guy, kind of knowing a goalie? Or I guess it could work both ways. But...
Yeah, I think it can work both ways. Of course, shot of him a bunch, but game things happen so quick out there. So, yeah, I guess tonight we'll have to wait and see.
All right, there's Brady Tkachuk, and I would have loved to see the look on his face when he was commenting on the question about Ridly Gregg being known as an agitator in junior, and what could he bring. He's like, well, we got a bunch of guys like that in this team. What are you talking about? Was there a bit of a Cheshire Cat grin on his face as he was answering that question? Because that's pretty much Brady. As I don't think we can say this anymore. I don't think Brady got enough credit for how skilled he is. Like, it's fine to say that, oh, he's a pain in the ass and he's a big presence and he can plant himself in front of the net, but the Brady Tkachuk is a skilled player. He's got great hands. He's got great vision. He's a much better passer than I think a lot of people give him credit for. But that is still a big element of his game. Who likes playing against Brady Tkachuk? And these are the types of games that if you're a Sens fan, this is why you really love them. Games against Toronto, games against Montreal, rivalry-type games. Those are the types of games where the intangibles of being that pain matter even more. And this is, like I said, the Sens are where they are in the standings. The Leafs are where they are. Polar opposites that way. But throw that out the window. When these two teams meet, it's like when the Leafs play Montreal, Sens play all of it. It's going to be fun. This should be a fun one tonight, Kenny.
It really should be. And these are the types of games that give you a glimpse into what competitive Ottawa Senators hockey could look like, with the likes of Brady Tkachuk leading the way and ramping himself up for these types of games. He's always an energetic guy. He's always in on the forecheck. That you know what you're getting out of Tkachuk. But there's just that little bit extra come these rivalry games. I can't wait until we see Brady Tkachuk in a playoff series and what he's able to do once he finally gets to play some playoff hockey, because that is going to be just dynamic. And I remember last year with the 67s, I said a similar type thing about Tyler Boucher and just being able to kind of release him to go out there, be as aggressive as you can, get it on the forecheck, and there's always that little bit extra that's allowed in the playoffs. A hard hit isn't always going to get penalized. In the OHL, it's completely different than in the NHL for hard hits and minor infractions. There's a lot more called in the OHL, but just that little bit extra, and you see it in the rivalry games. I always get pumped up for these ones, not only because it is the Leafs or the Habs, but just to see the, I don't know if shenanigans is the right word, but the physical play that Brady Tkachuk is going to bring and how much he disrupts and disturbs the opposition. It's you're right, though, he is an underrated skill guy, but that's just because everything else that he does overshadows it, I think, that much more.
You laid out three names there coming off of Brady, including Brady, that if the younger guys can project out as players in any sense and be full-time NHL players, could you not see that's the kind of line, even if they don't play together usually in the game, home playoff game, place is buzzing, it's so loud, and that's a line you start, get a puck deep, get some hits in, start get Brady on the wing, Gregg in the middle, and Boucher on the right. Like, the if those young guys project out the way the organization hopes that they will, right? I'm not getting ahead of myself, but that's the kind of line usually coaches like to start at home in playoff games.
And that's they may play on three different lines throughout the course of the game, but to start things off, okay, everybody else is going to play a couple inches taller because you're going to go out there and create some a disruption early on in the game, and maybe you keep them together for a couple shifts, whatever the case may be, and then you can go back because everybody will or could play a little bit taller just because the opposition is shrinking back a little bit. There's more turnovers. There's more space out on the ice. If that's a long way out with Boucher and Gregg potentially reaching that point where they can become what Brady Tkachuk is or a similar version of it. But if they all reach their potential, yeah, that is. And Ostachuk, the same type of thing. You could throw him into that mix. There's a lot of hard-nosed playoff-type performers or guys that you need in the playoffs that teams acquire at the trade deadline and try and acquire to help propel them in the playoffs. And Ottawa's done a good job of drafting them. Now it's a matter of developing them into useful pieces on the team a few years down the road.
Now, you can look through some of the drafts, some of the picks that Ottawa has made in recent years. A lot of it, I think, has been an eye towards when we become a playoff team, we're going to need certain types of players to be successful in the playoffs. And you start projecting players up like that. Problem is, you got to make the playoffs first.
And yeah.
That's unfortunately still, a long ways off this season, but you got to get there. But they've, you know, on the back end, that's why they drafted a guy like Klevin, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a little bit of criticism that way when he was selected. But you can look at what they project him to possibly be if he makes it as a full-time NHL player, what Boucher projects to be if he makes it as a full-time NHL player. These are the types of players that teams, they want them on their playoff teams, right? You need that type of player. Like, the game's changed. It's not the way it used to be. But in the playoffs, you still need guys like that. You have to have them on your team.
Yeah, and then these are they're doing it kind of the opposite way. They're acquiring them before they make the playoffs. But those are the types that the Tampa Bay Lightning have gone out and paid a big price tag for at the trade deadline to try and go out and acquire some of these types of players. So the Sens are trying to get ahead of it a bit. The issue is that the players that the Lightning are acquiring, they've already reached the maturity level. They've already reached that point where they can be valuable contributors to a potential playoff team, and that's why it costs that little bit extra. But if they can, if all the lights shine the right way, if they can get it headed in the right direction, there's a group here in the nucleus of the team, that the core that's already there, and then the pieces that are coming up could create something very special. But it all has to work out, and that's what remains to be seen. But I think the correct pieces are in place. It's whether the timing and the projection will actually work out.
All right, let's take a break, Kenny. When we come back in our next segment, we'll get to the other two pieces of sound, and it's a couple of players from the same draft from just a few years ago who both of them had their fingerprints all over Wednesday's win against the New York Islanders. We'll hear from Ridly Greig and Jake Sanderson next. Sens and Leafs tonight, 5 o'clock pregame, 7 o'clock faceoff on TSN 1200. All right, 12:47. Gord Wilson is going to join us coming up shortly. He'll have the call with Dean tonight. We'll have a pregame show at 5. Dean and Gord call at 7. Sens in Toronto to take on the Leafs. Auston Matthews, he's out at least 3 weeks. Sprained knee happened Wednesday in the overtime win over the Rangers, so he's out of the Leaf lineup. The Senators, status quo from their Wednesday night win against the Islanders. So Talbot confirmed. I guess reconfirmed by the coach. He's not available, obviously, tonight. He's not available until after the break, after having to leave the game on Wednesday. We know that Norris is done for the year, should be having shoulder surgery in the near future. Ridly Greig will play game number 2 of his NHL career tonight. Kastelic will be a scratch again. Gambrell stays in the lineup. Let's hear from a couple more Sens players, and two players that both had great games on Wednesday. Both big parts of the present, having helped the team win a game, but huge parts of the future. Let's start with Ridly Greig.
Yeah, Ridly, just what do you know about the Battle of Ontario?
Well, it's obviously a pretty big rivalry. It's going to be a competitive game, so I'm looking forward to it.
How do you think you might fit in? As I recall, you seem to like these kind of rivalry nights.
Yeah, probably going to have a lot of fun tonight, so I'm looking forward to it. Just going to battle and do everything I can.
Is that something that's always been in your game, that kind of playing on close to the edge?
Yeah, I love it. I love the competitive side of the game. I love laying the body, battling, everything about it. It's a lot of fun.
Who are your role models in that regard, kind of growing up? Who do you like, the agitators you liked watching?
Well, Mike Richards was a guy I kind of liked watching quite a bit in the playoffs, so he's kind of the first guy that comes to mind.
What have the last couple days been like? Has it sunk in yet? Are you riding the wave of adrenaline? Like, how would you describe the last few days here?
Yeah, it's been a lot of moving parts, a lot of family, a lot of text messages. So, but just enjoying every moment, and that's definitely a big memory.
You get a taste of that first game. How excited are you to get right back into another here, especially this matchup?
Yeah, I thought it was a great first game. Obviously, a good win, but just looking forward to tonight and looking forward to getting out there.
Brady was saying he didn't realize how many shots you had, 8 shots. Did you sense that the puck was following you around in that game?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think it was 8, but in the moment, I guess they can add up. I thought it was maybe 3 or 4, but 8's definitely a lot.
Is there anyone, I know, your first time through the league, there's guys you look forward to playing. When you look, Matthews is out tonight, but there's, Tavares, Marner over there, Riley even. I mean, is there anybody you're really eager to kind of line up beside tonight?
Yeah, obviously there's some unreal players out there. Probably Marner, first guy to come to mind. Obviously, he's a really, really unbelievable talent, so probably get out there.
What stands out the most about his game that you'd maybe have to be aware of when he's on the ice?
Probably just his smarts and skills, kind of the first thing. But yeah, just probably that.
Any message surprise you that you've gotten over the last couple of days? I'm sure your phone's been blowing up.
Nothing off the top of my head, but just a lot of names, a lot of old friends that have messaged. So just thanks to everybody.
Your dad didn't have a really long run here. It was pretty short, but did he say anything about playing in Toronto?
No, he didn't. He didn't say much, but yeah, I know he's out of here quick. He's back to the grind. So yeah.
What was it like to have that performance on his birthday?
It was pretty cool. Obviously, the way the dots connected there, it's kind of unreal. But obviously, it's a big birthday present for him.
Bring in the heat, Kenny. How many questions was that? Keep it going, hey?
I can count here for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 questions over 2 minutes and 30 seconds or so.
See, and listen, this is not a criticism. Ridley Gregg is a fine young man, but he's a man of few words, right? And I'm sure as he gets more and more comfortable, and some guys never do. Like, it's just they're people of few words. So Kenny can identify, if you've worked in media a while and you're doing interviews here, you can sense early on, it's like, all right, how's this going to go? And that's one of the worst feelings of somebody conducting an interview. If it's somebody, it's the first time, it's like, all right, you have no idea. You know, within the first couple, it's like, oh, man, this is going to be 15 questions from me. This interview is going to be more than me, more of me and less of the actual person, if we're going to have any semblance of having this be more than 30 seconds.
The only person who actually, I think, enjoyed it was John Abbott. He had a 7.5-minute interview with a former Ottawa 67 by the name of Matias Sointu. He's from Finland. English was okay.
Yeah.
But like Ridley Gregg, kind of a short answer, got to the point quickly, not a big speaker. Johnny Abbott somehow got 7.5 minutes out of Sointu. And that's still one of the greatest things I've ever listened to, is that it was rapid-fire Mark Masters-type questions, where it wasn't Johnny just talking forever. It was, all right, here's a question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And he had 7.5 minutes of questions ready for Matias Sointu. It was incredible.
The one that sticks out for me many years ago, and the reason why it sticks out, this guy, he was doing it on purpose just to be a Richard. Just to be a Richard after the game. Agreed to do it, and then just was an absolute Richard about it. He was trying to see how short he could possibly go. And that was Garth Snow.
Oh.
It was Garth Snow when he was still playing. It's a game here in Ottawa. I'm in the visitor's room after. I forget who he was even playing for at the time. It might have been Philly. I forget. And he went out of his way to be a Richard. And it was a game to see, you could tell, about how short he could possibly go.
See, so did the media just continue to pump questions at him, or was it all right, F you two, I'm out?
It was just me. It was a one-on-one.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Because I think he was a game star. He'd won the game, whatever. I'm like, and I asked him, yeah. And he comes over, oh, yeah, no problem, I'll do it, right? And he comes over and he does it. And I could tell from the look on his face as well, I'm just thinking, you, Richard, man. Like, why are you doing this? You could have just said no if you didn't want to. But then he wanted to do it because he just wanted to be that guy.
Yeah. See, so, based on reputation, I thought you were going to say Tom Barrasso.
Oh, Tom just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. But I thought that he was forced to do it one time, and that would be his way out of it.
Tom only did scrums, and they were interesting. He would do the odd TV quick one-on-one. That's where the famous Scott Oak ones. What, you want me to stop the ones going wide? when he interviewed him. Just was that just before the game or after? Anyways, all right. I digress. One more interview, and that's with Jake Sanderson with Gord Wilson and others.
Jake, you played your first ever game preseason. It was a long time ago here, but obviously, I'm guessing you have some pretty good memories of this building and where it all started.
Yeah, no, it's a cool rink. I remember just playing that game, probably the most people I've ever played in front of, so that's always cool, and they got really good fans, so it's always loud in here.
What can you build off of from the 2-1 win against the Islanders the other night?
Yeah, I mean, we were getting a little frustrated before that game, but we know we're a good team, and you know, we know what we're good at, so we just got to stick to that. And we did in that Islanders game, and we came out on top. So kind of just follow off of that game and kind of just stay true to ourselves and, you know, stick to what we're good at.
Going back to Gord's previous comment there, you scored your first career NHL point in this building. Does it mean a little bit more coming back here?
I don't know, not really. I don't really care about that. But we got to get a win in this rink. That's what matters. So,
what difference is there for you guys with Matthews out tonight?
I mean, not really a difference. I mean, they still got a lot of good players over there that we got to take care of. So, obviously, he's an all-star in the league, but, you know, they got many guys over there like that. So, they're a fast team. We got to play with them, and they got a lot of skill, too, that we got to be ready for.
As a young guy in the league, how hard is it to learn how to defend at this level? It's all about angles and speed, right?
Yeah, no, it's like you said, it's all about the speed. It's a much faster game than college for me last year, so obviously it takes some games to get used to it, but I feel like now during the middle of the season, you know, I'm still learning each game, but I feel like I'm doing a better job than what I was at the start of the year, so it's obviously nice to have a veteran guy to your right side too with Hamnick there, so kind of just watch him and feed off what he does.
Couple of assists for Jake Sanderson in the win the other night. Solid game, just backing up a solid rookie season. So we'll see what he brings tonight. Again, Toronto against the Maple Leafs. It will be a 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock faceoff. We'll take our top hour break. Back to Toronto we go. Gord Wilson as our Sens and NHL insider coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200.